This is the 9 with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Lots to get to, including a Pinder report. Very Flames-centric and NHL-heavy Pinder report at about 22. We'll read your text as well. What did you like from last night? Is there one encouraging sign you saw? Or is this just what an inconsistent hockey club looks like? You can't be inconsistent if you're bad all the time. You got to be good sometimes. Either way, they snap a three-game skid and do so in decisive fashion. Let us head to the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, where we welcome in Haley Salvian of The Athletic. Good morning, Haley. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for joining us. It's been a couple weeks. Are you getting used to this roller coaster that is the Flames beat yet?
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking with my editor yesterday, just trying to figure out, you know, a story plan, because we want to have regular content out. And I was like, it's really hard to write something about this team when you have this sense that whatever you say is just going to be fleeting and it's not going to be relevant within 2 days because something's going to completely change. And we were going to look at something as, you know, what's going wrong with the Flames? Like, why are they playing so bad in this three-game losing streak? And I was like, maybe I should wait for one more loss in this streak, because I bet I'm going to write this story and they're going to win. And they did. So I was glad that I didn't. So it's a lot of pivots and just kind of trying to go with the flow and waiting for your moments.
I can't wrap my head around it. I mean, we ride the roller coaster every morning, and, you know, it's kind of, I guess, the rites of passage. When you fill 4 hours a day, you're going to overreact to the short term and what you've just seen. And, you know, it's where's Matthew Tkachuk, Sam Bennett, what are you doing? David Rittich, he hasn't got a win in over a year. And you look to last night and you're like, oh, well, all those things are upside down. And their MVP, yeah, Jacob Markstrom's coming off a rough start, in which he may or may not have been injured and he's hurt. Like, this, whew, it's a lot going on here. It really is tough to take the long-term view, because they're showing so many different looks here.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I agree. And it's like you just said, even last night, like, look at all the streaks that were kind of broken. You know, Rittich got his first win over a year. Matthew got his first goal in, I believe, 10 games. Sam Bennett got his first goal in probably 5 or 6. You know, Sean Monahan got his third goal of the season. And then they snapped a couple of the streaks from the Leafs. But yeah, it's just, there's a lot going on, and a lot of it's kind of with this short-term kind of narrow focus, and we don't really know how long some of these little trends are going to last for. And it's, but I guess such is life covering an inconsistent hockey club, like you said.
Do you have a sense of what they're good at, or what the identity of this group is, or is that still to be determined?
I feel like that's still to be determined. I don't know if I've seen an identity come through on a consistent basis, you know, and I think that's probably part of the problem. Is this like a high-flying, high-skilled team? Is this a hard-working team? I think you look at some of the, you know, the top teams in this division, and you know what the identity of the Toronto Maple Leafs is. They've got, I mean, last night they didn't, their depth was really tested last night, but they also had, you know, probably six-plus injuries. But, you know, the Leafs have decent depth. They have great chemistry. They're a really high-skilled offensive puck possession team. The Edmonton Oilers don't have a ton of depth, but they have elite talent through the top of their lineup, and that's kind of their identity. The Montreal Canadiens, you know, I think they were maybe playing better than the sum of their parts, but they had great team chemistry and they were hardworking. The Ottawa Senators are, you know, they're the worker boot type. You know, they're always going to play hard, never going to give you a night off. And I don't know what I would say about the Calgary Flames other than that this is an inconsistent hockey team right now. When they're good, they're really good. But it's kind of like what Milan Lucic said, I guess, 2 weeks ago now. This hockey club is, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, their good's really good, but it's not there all the time. And when it's not there, you don't know what this team is, because it's kind of a mixed bag of what's going wrong. You know, Jacob Markstrom was masking a lot of the problems, so I don't think we really got a full picture of what's wrong. And then now David Rittich's playing quite well. But, you know, I think the identity is still definitely up in the air. And I think that'll come with maybe seeing, like, more consistent efforts on a night-to-night basis.
I think that's what everyone would be clamoring for. Fan base, management, coaching staff, players. We'd love to see more consistency. And boy, you noted the injuries, but it sure is a lot easier to be a player, or a coach, or a GM when your team gets the lead. Felt that way last night, at least.
Yeah, definitely. And that was the first time that they had scored the first goal in over six games. And I think, you know, they've talked about it quite a bit, but, you know, once you get the first goal and you're not playing from behind the whole time, I mean, and especially the way that the Flames have been playing from behind, they're not just getting down 1-0. They're getting down 1-0 in the first 3 minutes of the game, and then the other team's adding another one or maybe two in the first period. And those are pretty significant holes to dig out of, especially when you're playing against, you know, Toronto, Edmonton, I mean, Vancouver, to maybe a little bit of a lesser extent to the top two, but it's still a hole that you have to dig out of. And if you're not playing well, it's that hole feels even deeper than it actually is. So getting the first goal last night against the Toronto team, I think, was huge. We saw Morgan Rielly. I think he thought he tied the game on the power play with that one timer. The ref said that it kind of went in and out, or not in and out, hit the crossbar and out. And I think, you know, the Flames just got a ton of good puck luck. The Leafs missed a ton of empty nets. They hit a ton of posts, ton of crossbars. And you could see the Flames were able to, you know, they weren't exceptional from a puck possession standpoint last night. I think the Leafs actually outplayed them from, you know, puck possession and scoring opportunity and high danger chance opportunities, but the Flames are able to kind of lock it down defensively. They were able to add two on the power play. They shut down the Leafs' power play. And, you know, it wasn't a perfect game, but you could see that they were desperate, more desperate than the Leafs. And that's exactly, I think, what they needed. Yeah. It's not this miraculous turning point to the season, but it could be a good jumping off point.
No question. And we'll see what the two rosters look like tomorrow night as they'll wrap a two-game set. How does the Sam Bennett, I don't want to call it a stalemate, but maybe it is. It's clear he'd rather be elsewhere, and it's clear the Flames aren't intent on moving him. The general manager was on our airwaves Friday afternoon and did not mince words when letting the audience know who is in control of the Sam Bennett situation. How does this end in your mind?
Yeah, it's a good question. I personally, and I don't have any insight into this, I personally don't see, you know, Sam Bennett being a member of the Calgary Flames, you know, next season. Certainly I would see that something's got to give here. I think, you know, if we believe that, you know, Sam Bennett's adamant that he wants out and there's nothing that's going to change that, not even playing with Johnny Mani, you know, I think this is something that if it's going to be done this season, it could go all the way right to the trade deadline, which I think is less than 2 months away now. So I think it's tough because Bradtree Living isn't going to give up Sam Bennett for nothing. But at the same time, do you want to lose him for absolutely nothing? You know, when the Seattle draft comes, and maybe that's what they're saving him for. Maybe he is something that the Flames just want to say, like, okay, now you can get your change of scenery through Seattle. So it's a tough one, and it's one that I've been trying to figure out. I think there's probably quite a few teams in the league who would have interest or who would, you know, do their due diligence on a player like Sam Bennett. I mean, we've all seen the playoff Sam Bennett. He's, you know, when the whistles go away and the game gets tighter and harder, you know, Sam Bennett elevates his game. And I think there's quite a few teams in the league who maybe come the trade deadline or seeing where they're at and saying, okay, we need to add a little bit of depth. We need to add a little bit of grit. We need a guy who's good on the forecheck. And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe the phones start ringing a little bit more on Sam Bennett as teams kind of figure out, are we a contender? What do we need here to really give us a good push? So I could see that maybe heating up a little bit more towards the trade deadline, like I said, or it could be something that happens in the off season, either through Seattle or, you know, a summer trade. But I don't see a short-term solution right now. I just don't see Sam Bennett being moved in the next, like, week or so.
What have your thoughts been on covering the other Tkachuk brother this season in what's been up and down? You alluded to the goalless drought that snapped last night. But also, I suppose, the circumstance surrounding his middling play for a segment there that seemed to coincide perfectly with a players only meeting. Did you tie those events together or not?
I think it's, you know, it's hard not to, especially when you see some of the reporting coming out from Elliot Friedman on 31 Thoughts. He talked about it on the podcast. It was in his blog as well. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to speculate or just assume that these things are correct, because I haven't been able to personally, you know, firsthand confirm these things. But I think it's hard not to see the parallel between, you know, the puck flip from Jake Muzzin, the I don't want to call it a temper tantrum, you know, the outburst, you know, that anger that we saw from Matthew Tkachuk, the players only meeting, and then these reports out of Elliot Friedman. And then, of course, you know, this kind of weird drought that Matthew was going through. And it wasn't just that he wasn't scoring. It was that, you know, we weren't seeing him like in his office. We weren't seeing him mix it up. We weren't seeing him as physical, as emotionally engaged. And, you know, it's a little bit weird for me, because coming from Ottawa, and Brady and Matthew, they do it a little bit differently. But, you know, Ottawa, Brady is absolutely celebrated for dragging guys into the battle. You know, the coach loves it. The teammates love it. The fans love it. They're like, that's our future captain. He's the heartbeat of this team. He drags us into the battle every night, and we love that. And there were so many examples last season of seeing the Sens, you know, the quote-unquote lowly Sens. They're down 2-0, and then Brady Tkachuk makes a big hit. He does a big play. He gets in a scrap, and then all of a sudden, the Sens just had this energy to them, and they would come back and they would win. And there was quite a few examples of that happening last season, and it celebrated. So it is weird to me coming from Ottawa, where Brady Tkachuk's, you know, physical play and the heartbeat of the team is this really great asset to this situation, where it seems like Matthew Tkachuk is being questioned for the way that he plays, instead of celebrating the fact that we have a legitimate spark plug here, who can, with his hits, with his personality, with his energy, can create so much for this team. And especially for a team where we're questioning their emotional level, we're questioning their consistency and their energy, is having somebody who can bring that not an asset? So it's pretty bizarre. It's and again, you know, some of that is based on speculation. So I don't want to say that this is without a doubt what's happening, but if it is, you know, if there are people who are questioning, you know, Matthew, like, we don't want to be dragged into the fight every single day. I mean, I don't agree with that. That's for sure.
What have we made of Jeff Ward? What have you thought of the first year without an interim tag, head coach in the NHL? He's 59 years old. Do you have a strong sense of what he wants his teams to play like?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've heard from the post game, you know, he wants the guys to show up on time. He wants to see the consistency. I mean, there's, you know, nothing kind of new or different or innovative there. I know there's been a lot of critique for Jeff Ward with the fan base. I've seen that online a lot. I would say there's been some lineup decisions or, you know, deployment decisions that are questionable. You know, having Nordstrom up on the top line with Johnny and Monty, or, you know, the Simone experiment, you know, the Bennett situation is kind of awkward. It's, you know, why is Sam Bennett playing on the fourth line when you're giving guys who haven't done a single thing the top six opportunities? There's been little things like that I've questioned. But at the end of the day, I think that there, you know, the questions around this team, they're not a quick fix. I don't think if you fire Jeff Ward like the fans want, the team's not good tomorrow. I think it's a little bit deeper than that. So I don't have like an overwhelming sense one way or the other. Just, you know, I just don't think I've seen enough. It's only been, you know, 18, 19 games or whatever it may be. There's been some questionable lineup decisions, I would say. But again, I don't think that that's, you know, the main reason why this team is struggling.
Okay, finally, it's been 2 weeks, so we need an update. Last we chatted, it was like minus 30, and your poor dog was nearly freezing to death. Yeah. Has the dog survived the cold spell, and will the dog enjoy the fresh hail / thunderstorm snow from last night?
Yeah, he survived. I don't know. Hopefully people can't hear it. He's sitting next to me. He's sleeping next to me, snoring. I always try to get like a quiet space, and he will follow me and just, he's a French bulldog, so he snores really loudly. So Bono is sneakily trying to make his radio debut, but no, he's good with the cold. He won't wear boots. He hates them. So he'll just like go out and start to feel his paws hurting and make me carry him home. So he's a little bit of a diva, but he's surviving.
Good catching up, Haley. Appreciate your insights. Keep up the great work. We'll talk again in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks.
Haley Salvian of The Athletic, all things Flames on theathletic.com. And yeah, I mean, the same issues we're batting around. It's like, yeah, what do you make of a team that's been wildly inconsistent, that has a new head coach, that isn't liking where the way the team's played for the bulk of the season, but also has made some questionable decisions, coincidental timing on Tkachuk's, I guess, slump, a players-only meeting. Those questions fading a bit today in the wake of a 3-0 victory. David Rittich was sensational, 34-save shutout, his first win in, what, a year? Oliver Shillington did not play a ton, but did play for the first time in 365 days. Boy, did you forget the Flames had him? I feel like he's an NHLer. Is that guy not a 6'7"? Huh. Hardly used him. But for, you know, I tell you what, for the very limited ice time he got, it wasn't like it was blemishes and mistakes. It was a special teams game. Flames drove the top four a ton. And the guys you wanted to see score, scored. Matthew Tkachuk, 9-game drought, boom. Sean Monahan, a dozen games without a goal, boom. That's busted as well. And Sam Bennett, playing in the top six, gets a goal that certainly, I think, makes the short term a little more palatable for all parties involved. Back at it again tomorrow against the Leafs before that's the first half of a home-and-home, not a home-and-home, excuse me, a back-to-back that'll see them play the Senators Thursday. That Senators set, a stretch of five games in six games, five of six against the Senators on the schedule. It's going to feel like a big set. You're going to want to collect a lot of points, and if you don't, the season's going to get a whole lot more difficult than it already is. Haley joins us, as many others do, on the guest hotline for Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Now open for limited dining service with all safety precautions in place. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975 at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. We're coming back with the Pinder Report, news of the day, and more reaction to the Flames. Finally, a win on the board and everyone can exhale. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Back to the 9 with Ryan Pinder. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Game in a Minute, brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Get three payments on the house when you lease or finance a 2020 or 2021 model. Hyatt Infinity, Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
Monahan bats it up the near boards. Anderson winds and fires a shot, and they score! Rasmus Anderson took the shot, and Sam Bennett batted the puck by Michael Hutchinson. The Flames score first for the first time in seven games. They've got a 1-0 lead.
Giroux gives it back to the captain, who shoots, and they score!
Mark Giordano took the shot, and Matthew Tkachuk tipped the puck into the Maple Leafs net. His 100th career NHL goal makes it 2-0 Flames.
Nice slot to Monahan. He shoots. That shot's tipped. Tkachuk jamming away. Can't knock it in, and Monahan scores!
Sean Monahan backhands the puck by Michael Hutchinson. His first goal in 13 games makes it 3-0 Flames. And that will do it. David Rittich shuts out the highest scoring team in the NHL. Huge 3-0 triumph at Scotiabank Arena.
Game in a Minute, brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Get three payments on the house when you lease or finance a 2020 or 2021 model. Hyatt Infinity, Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
Huge indeed. Big win for the Calgary Flames, 3-0 over the Toronto Maple Leafs last night. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Definitely win more than you lose and you'll be fine. Right, Jay? You don't want to win. You know, the other team, but you do want to win. You don't want the other team. Don't lose.
Right. Don't confuse me.
You want to win? You want your goalie to stop more pucks? Don't let him in. Nice to see for Rittich. I feel like he's kind of been a forgotten man. Not to like the Oliver Shillington level of forgotten man, but yeah, like it was a year ago that he was at an All-Star game. Huh? What?
A year ago that he got an NHL win, right? Like,
Yeah. It's like everything was going great. He had like a 920-something. Won the shootout in Edmonton, flipped the old Coho, and hasn't really gone great since then. But he's hardly played. Remember when he came into that Dallas game in Game 6? You're like, oh, here he is. Hope you've had a really good 6 months of stretching. Talbot had wrestled the crease away from him coming down the stretch before the postponement of the regular season. Didn't get a single start in the playoffs. He's airlifted into that Game 6 collapse in what will be one of the more regrettable goalie pulls in franchise history, of which there's a few. Rhett and Boom will remind us of the Mike Keenan hook on Kiprusoff in the playoffs. That feels like a bad move. So it's an elimination game, and you're going to take Kipper out for... No, it doesn't matter who. You're taking him out. Not quite the same level in Dallas Game 6. And then, if you go to Riddick this year, first start in Montreal, one of the more listless efforts we've seen from the Flames all season, so bad they called a players-only meeting. Then he has a couple bad bounces, has one soft goal against the Winnipeg Jets in Derek Forbort. Sugar scored on him. Oof, that's the one you want back. 3-2 loss, didn't allow a goal, final 40 minutes. And I really liked his effort Friday against the Oilers, but the Flames only scored one goal at home. It's like, man, what's it going to take for Riddick to get some love here? He hasn't been bad. He's hardly played. He's had his job taken away, and rightfully so, by a high-end free agent signing. But last night was excellent. Did he get some help? Yes. Were the posts involved? Yes. Does that feel like a huge weight off his back? You'd have to think so. And it could be his crease for a while. Jacob Markstrom was looking like the starter at morning skate. Whether the Flames were duping people or whether things changed, we don't know, but he was in line to start that contest and wasn't even on the bench at game time. It was, Artem Zagadulin working the gate, David Riddick in net, and we'll see how quickly Markstrom can return from whatever's ailing him. Dina pointed out that collision with Tanner Pearson in the Canucks game. That's a while ago, but it was not a soft bump. You had was that the collision where on the broadcast they had the old speedometer on Pearson as he was coming in? Because there was a couple collisions that Markstrom had with Canucks forwards, if I'm correct. But one of them, they're like, oh, look, he's going 30 kilometers. Oh, he'd get pulled over in a school zone and bang, collides with a goalie. I know he's got lots of gear on, but that can't feel good. We'll see. Maybe that has nothing to do with it. Maybe he's got the sniffles, Jay. You got the sniffles? That's upper body, right? Not lower. It would be a good time for Riddick to play his best hockey if they lean on him here. And I think long-term, would it not put your nerves at ease a little more if you were able to lighten the workload for Markstrom, who you want to be at his absolute best in May, to not have to play, 14 of 16 games to start a year? Like, that, you can't do that again, right? We acknowledge that's... If he's ever going to start 14 of 16, you're on a wild run in the playoffs. That's the only way you ever allow him to play that much again. Period. Stop. You got to get Riddick in. And I understand they're looking for a softer landing spot, and the longer it is between Riddick having a good start or playing, the more you want to be really careful about where you put him in because, Jesus, confidence. But this could be a silver lining of sorts. If Markstrom is going to miss any amount of time here, certainly that coinciding with strong play from David Riddick could really make this more of a tandem and less of that Mika Kiprusoff type split where, yeah, I'll take 72 and you get the back-to-backs. Cool? Because that just isn't the way this position is coached or strategized anymore. It just isn't. You want to lighten the burden on your netminder that you want to be at his best in the spring. Don't run him into the ground trying to get there. If you get a tandem, you get a better goalie when you are there, right? As for the rest of the schedule, it's going to be a whole lot of the Ottawa Senators. We've told you that a fair amount, like a lot. Wednesday, 5 o'clock, it's the Leafs. That's tomorrow. That's the first of a back-to-back that sees them in Ottawa the next night. It is Thursday, Saturday against the Sens. And then we will jump forward into the month of March, where it is the Senators coming to Calgary. Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Thursday against the Senators. Then they have a one-off against the Oilers and right back to another game against the Sens. 5 of 6. It's weird saying that a season series against the Senators feels like your season's on the line, and that probably could be overreacting to the short term if this team sorts it out and plays consistency for like the final 30 games of the year, but it feels like a huge opportunity you can't miss at this point of the season because of the opportunities you've frittered away. a four-game set with Vancouver where they earn more points than you, a home-and-home with Edmonton where you get 0 points. By all means, play your best game in Toronto, keep that defensive-looking posture, play with a lead, take advantage of some injuries, and go into Ottawa not just playing with a couple wins in a row, but with 60-minute efforts, because we know one thing, they're going to work. They're not that skilled, they're going to work. They were down 5-1, 4-1, and came back and won a hockey game. That is a team that's just going to work. They're young, they got a coach that is there to say, hey, we're going to play the kids, let's get better. You're going to outskill us, but you're not going to outwork us. So, Flames, that should be the focus moving forward. Pinder, text line we go for SML Entertainment. Maybe after six left, they've got him down and told him to calm down with his emotions. I don't know what that means. That doesn't make sense. Good win for Riddick last night, Pinder. It should help his confidence big time. But for the team in general, I don't know that it changes much. The Leafs are incredibly sleepy and will definitely come out harder Wednesday. I don't disagree with that. I don't think the Leafs were great. They were missing a lot of bodies. But give the Flames credit. They kept the hottest goal scorer in the NHL on the sidelines. They knew where he was on the power play. Don't take 7 penalties tomorrow night, please. That'd be a good move. Please, 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 please. It's not going to go well for you if you take another 7 penalties that lead to Toronto Maple Leaf power plays. And the flip side, power play scored twice. If the Leafs are going to load up all their eggs into one basket and have the same number of injuries, I like your chances. And maybe more than anything, when Michael Hutchinson's in net, that feels like an opportunity that doesn't come around very often at the NHL level. You best be putting some pucks in behind him. We'll take a break. More reaction to last night's win and a trip around the NHL, as well as a preview of tonight's AHL action at the Saddle Dome. That's ahead in the Pinder Report. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The 9 with Ryan Pinder continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Stockton Heat will be in action tonight from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. You hear about that. Also a busy slate in the NHL last night. Raptors on your TV and your radio tonight at 5:30 as they play their second of two against the Philadelphia 76ers. It's all ahead with your news of the day and the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Thank you, Jay. Boy, a lot of hockey last night in the universe. Why don't we start with the Calgary Flames?
They score!
Yeah, looking to snap a 3-game skid as they opened a pair in the GTA last night.
Where's GTA? What is it?
What's that?
Downtown
Toronto, Rhett. That's where. Crazy news day for the two teams involved. We learned yesterday morning that Muzzin, Hyman, and Thornton would all be up for this contest, at least likely, while Sean Monahan was angling towards a return after missing both the Oilers games, and Oliver Shillington was set to play his first game in a year. Whoa. Glenn Gaudin looking to stay in after his NHL debut on Saturday garnered 6:04 of ice time. But the real news came late in the day when Jacob Markstrom was announced would not be starting, David Rittich would, and Frederik Andersen, the Danish puck stopper who was drafted twice, would be out, and third stringer Michael Hutchinson would be starting in the Leafs net. So while many of us hammered the over, these two teams just got ready and going to work, Dean. Weren't many silver linings in the weekend, but some of the big ones were there again for the Flames. Bennett emotionally invested, Tkachuk looking back to his normal self, and David Rittich looking sharp. Those storylines would continue.
Monahan bats it up the near boards. Andersen winds and fires a shot, and they score! Rasmus Andersen took the shot, and Sam Bennett batted the puck by Michael Hutchinson. The Flames score first for the first time in 7 games, they've got a 1-0 lead.
Is the Bob O'Reilly in the background? What's that?
That's a
banger, huh? Eh? The Who? Oh, yeah. I like that one. No?
Not my favorite.
1-0 Calgary after 20 minutes with Marner in the box for tripping in the second period. The Flames' power play went to work.
Goodrow gives it back to the captain who shoots, and they score! Mark Giordano took the shot, and Matthew Tkachuk tipped the pocket of the Maple Leafs net. His 100th career NHL goal makes it 2-0 Flames.
I don't know what song that is. Goal number 100 on the career for Tkachuk. It snaps a 9-game goal drought. He's back. And just a few minutes after that 2-0 goal, though, the Flames in major penalty trouble. Gaudreau, then Lindholm with consecutive tripping penalties just 24 seconds apart, and it was a golden opportunity for the Leafs to get right back in this contest.
They can't do that!
Yeah, I know.
Dirty but cheaters.
Would bend and not break. 2-0 after 40. Let's go to the third.
Slot to Monahan. He shoots. That shot's tipped. Kachuk jamming away. Can't knock it in. Now Monahan scores! Sean Monahan backhands the puck by Michael Hutchinson. His first goal in 13 games makes it 3-0 Flames.
Yeah, first goal in eons. 12 games, no goals. 14 team games with no goals because he missed the pair against Edmonton. That seems wild. Longest stretch of his career, you said, Dean? Holy.
Well, I did not say that. I was speculating about Kachuk.
You said the longest time since Adam when he went 15 straight.
I did not say
because
that.
Because of a strained tendon.
You're full of shirt.
Okay. I wouldn't want to characterize an opinion as a fact. My apologies there.
You're a liar. I know. Yeah, I know how you are for facts. Dirty liar.
Hey, look at that. Loads of special teams last night.
Stinking
liar. If you're looking to see the depth players and rolling four lines, it wasn't really happening.
Stinking liar.
2-for-5 on the power play with the Flames. 7-for-7 on the penalty kill. Don't go back to that well. That's a lot of penalties against this Leaf offense. And that really wreaked havoc on ice time for players. If you didn't notice Yusuf Alamaki and Oliver Shillington in his first game in like a year, it wasn't because they were so steady you didn't even see them. It's because they hardly played. Neither got to 10 minutes. Heavy lifting from your top four defense, all over 21 minutes. Tanev over 26 minutes. Jeez, that's half a game. And the other side, Glenn Gauden, just over 2 minutes. He's now played about 8 minutes of hockey through two games. And Josh Levo, 3 minutes.
Took a penalty, though, so good for him.
He spent almost as much time in the box as he did on the ice.
That's right.
Yeah. 61% in the faceoff dot last night. That was something of note for me as well. And Anderson, Monahan, Kachuk, all with a pair of points in the win. Best defensive effort in ages, boys.
Yeah, best all around, for sure. Special teams, you needed that. Certainly you needed the power play going. The only thing is they gave up some decent scoring chances on their own power plays. But yeah, a lot of things that you wanted to see happen. Riddick get a win. Find the net, Monahan. Get a goal.
Play with the lead.
Get something going.
How about that?
Getting the first goal is a nice touch. Yeah.
Boy, that feels a lot easier, hey? Like, you don't have to, when you're ahead, you don't have to reach for the blender. When you're ahead, you don't have to, you know, like, press harder than you want to. You don't have to take chance. Like, you sit back a little, play some defense, get pucks deep, all the good stuff. And play with the lead. Seems fun.
And you said it earlier that this, you got the Leafs when they were maybe a little battered. Obviously, their starter was out. They were missing Thornton. They're without Muzzin, who's a big part of that back end.
Yeah.
Well, you best take advantage, and because there's been opportunities that have been presented to the Flames in the last couple of weeks where they have not taken advantage, things like that Vancouver series. Yeah. So just do it, man. I don't think other teams were looking at the Ottawa Senators when they were playing very poorly and saying, yeah, well, it's just the Senators. No, take the 2 points and stash it. And I don't know if it, like I said earlier, I don't think it has any bearing now on what happens tomorrow night because I think the Leafs will be better. I don't know who returns from injury, but you got the win you needed on a night when the Leafs were able to be beaten.
You faced their third-string goaltender. You played them when Alex Kerfoot and Alex Barabanov were in the top six, and you beat them when Travis Dermott and Justin Holt was the second pair. Good time to get a win because that would have been an ugly loss. That's some significant parts on the top end of the roster missing for the Leafs, and it sets up an intriguing matchup Wednesday, which happens to be the first of a back-to-back, which will send them to Ottawa, where they open a stretch of 5-6 against, Melnick's men, Eugene's shooting for the cup squad, right?
Hmm? My name is Eugene.
What do you like Eugene? To drink, Eugene?
What does he like? What was it? I forget.
Was
it ginger ale?
Ginger ale?
Yeah, something like
ginger
that.
Ale.
Yeah, all right.
Highlights, let's go!
Spiced
Tampa, Carolina.
Tito's.
Stamkos wins the draw. Sergachev high slot. Left circle to Hedman. Score! Hedman!
Sheesh.
The worst.
That scared me.
Really bad.
Just the worst.
He's a Chad Flemmy.
And he's not even in the building. He's in a boardroom somewhere.
Score!
Settle down.
I'll take Kerr's missed goals over that any day of the week. Tampa got a goal and an assist from Hedman, Palat, and Stamkos. They're now 11-4-1 on the season.
You'd think that'd be good enough to lead their division. More on that in a moment. Bolts have been shut out in the two prior meetings against the Canes. Dallas visiting the Panteros.
To the point for Yandle. Left shot, score! Keith Yandle let it fly! The Panthers grab the 2-1 lead.
Remember when Yandle was going to be healthy scratch at the beginning of the year and how this was going to be really ugly? Yeah, me neither.
You know what?
12 points in 16 games for Quenville.
Yeah, I wrote it. I have it all kind of written down. I wanted to talk about it later. I don't know how much, like we say, are you paying attention outside of the North Division? And if you are, you're probably not paying attention to the Florida Panthers. But they are playing some serious hockey right now.
52 shots last night, Dino.
Hornquist
29 in the second period.
Hornquist has come in there and been great. Huberdeau is, top 10, top 12 in scoring. Barkov is doing what he... And yeah, they wanted no part of Yandle, and he's been great for them back there.
Hornquist is tossing the Dukes last night,
He was
too.
Tossing the old...
Shooting the Dukes!
Tilt-a-whirl.
Seven shots. Big night for Horny. Oh, yeah.
The Horn
Love
Dog.
That. Yeah. Thoughts and prayers to Anton Hudobin. Oof. 29 shots in one period. You need to recharge in the sauna with some meat and beer.
Well, get out of that sauna. You're dehydrated.
That's probably true.
Stars are in a bad way. They are in a bad way right now. One win in their last nine.
Oof. That's
spread out over 4 weeks, or are they still...
Yeah, it's not good. They started 4-0 and have gone 1-4-4 since, winless in their last six as part of that nine-game stretch.
You know another team going in a bad way, boys?
Is this a segue?
Buffalo Sabres.
Oh,
dear.
Twisted back for Letty. 20 on the power play. Wahlstrom let it go. Big rebound. Score!
Yeah, nothing like a late power play goal for the game winner. Third straight Isles win over Buffalo. Sam Reinhart, a dirty little RBI single goal there. I don't know if you saw that.
It was like a backhanded bunt. He flipped the blade over and...
Never seen it like that
before.
Yeah,
I know.
The old backhanded bunt.
Still wasn't enough.
Not quite enough to get it done, though.
No. Bunt cake McGee could use one more of those. Varlamov, 33 saves in the victory. Isles pretty good. Kings and Blues. What's happening
my wife's Stanford. Bucket. Back pass intercepted by Brown. And Brown deeks. Shoots. Scores! What a goal! Dustin Brown! Rewind that one and hang on to it. Kings lead 2-0.
Love that Oregon.
Do we rewind things? Is that how? Get the tape and splice it with your grease pencil. And
I heard that VHS making a comeback.
Is that what
really?
You heard?
Yeah.
Well, stocks are down this morning, I see. Maybe it's time to buy low on the VHS.
Stonks are down?
Huh. Stonks are down.
10 goals for Brown, boys. He'd add an empty netter. 54th career shutout for Jonathan Quick, who's on a heater the last week. I don't know how long it's going to last, when it's going to dry up, but Quick, he hot right now. Fourth time in a row. Are the Knights and Avs sick of each other yet?
William Carlson knifing his way in. Feeds it off, tucked to the net with spin, and it scores! Nice setup, William Carlson to Alex Tuck, who buries it 20 seconds into the power play. It's 1-0 Vegas.
Vegas would win. Shutout variety. 64th shutout of Marc-Andre Fleury's career.
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Yeah, Vegas and Colorado each split the four-game set. Two wins each. Let's go to Arizona, where the Desert Dogs are hosting the Ducks in the debut for Trevor Zegras.
A shot, they score! Redirected in front, and the Coyotes get a power play goal, and they've come all the way back to lead it 4-3.
Yeah, Zegras and company were up 3-0, 4-3 the final. That's a nice rally from the Dogs. Just the fourth time in franchise history they've rallied from down 3 to win. They did it against the Flames in 0-1. That's about it. Jacob Chychrun, goal and an assist. He's been a nice little find for them.
Chick dog.
Don't shoot that dog. He's one of the good ones.
Not that. Come on.
Minnesota San Jose. Boy, you got to love shooting on Sharks goalies.
Zuccarello back to Brodin. He scores! And just 3 seconds before the power play expires, Minnesota cashes in.
Worst goaltending in the league.
Yeah, a couple changeups got past Devin Dubnyk. I think the Wild were excited to see him at the other end of the rink for a change.
Well, it was
6-2 the final.
It started with Jones, who got yanked after allowing 4 on 20. In 10 of his 12 starts, Jonesy's allowed 3 or more. Just get me four, boys. That's a
could have got you four a few years ago.
Bit of a sad tale when your goalie, you go in there, oh, Jonesy, get this. And tonight, your starter, let's hear it for Marty Jones. Jonesy.
Oh, crap.
God, we need four. How the are we going to get four tonight?
You know, at four, Matt Zuccarello had 4 points. One goal, three helpers. Did we forget Matt Zuccarello was still in the league?
Zook dog.
A lot of dogs.
Nah, the cat. Zook cat. Chick cat would be better, too.
Yeah,
you just like cats more. That's all it is.
Because Zook was injured to start the year, right? He had off-season surgery or something like that.
Zookumber?
He'd been great.
Got to avoid that. Zookumber's good. I like that.
Okay. See if that'll stick.
For what, the Zook dog?
Yeah.
I'll take it under advisement.
Weird news from the Rangers. Artemi Panarin announces a leave of absence after former Flame and noted thug Andre Nazarov alleged an assault way back in 2011. Rangers backing their star, calling the claims fabricated, which would make sense because Panarin's been publicly extremely critical of Vladimir Putin for many years, something that's not really received well in Russia. He's also backed one of Putin's political rivals on social media. Get your family out of there and get back to New York safe, sir, please, and quickly.
I'm saying nothing about this story. I have no opinion.
Good. That's
I have
best
no,
for your family.
Nothing to say.
Mm-hmm. And a new Disney pick in the works featuring the story of Zamboni driver David Ayers.
Screw you. How about that?
It's just like that, ridiculous, eh? Right?
Oh, it's a one-year anniversary. Oh, how could we forget?
Great.
And then the Zamboni driver came in and beat the team he'd always dreamt of playing for.
Well, weren't they going to do a stupid John Scott movie?
I was going to say, they can make it a double feature that no one will show up to right after the John Scott All-Star movie. Hoof. NHL tonight, Buffalo Sabres at New Jersey Devils. Pittsburgh Penguins, Washington Capitals.
It's yours, boys and girls and babes. Let's go!
Yeah. Sportsnet 360 at 5 o'clock. Montreal, Ottawa.
I'm in Ottawa. How are you doing?
Chicago, Columbus.
The gun went off.
Nashville, Detroit.
You just traded me to the Lions. I go, well, I'm retired. Like, I don't know how that trade can go through. And then 2 days later, the trade never went through.
Yeah, it sucks to be in Detroit, doesn't it? And Edmonton, Vancouver.
I've won 10 cups.
Sportsnet West at 8 o'clock. Finally, we have, look at this. American Hockey League news. It's a Heat game day against Toronto from the Saddle Dome, Dean. A little bit danger. They're looking to avenge a 7-1 loss on Sunday afternoon. Dustin Wolf didn't have much in the way of luck or help in that loss. He'll be off to Everett before the end of the month. Do they go back to the Super Kid? We'll find out at around 6 o'clock Mountain Time tonight. Kerr with the call.
No, they don't!
Nice.
Raptors 76ers again tonight. Toronto will look to extend their win streak to 5 games. They're tied for 4th in the East. 76ers lead the conference at 20-11. Lowry's missed the last two with a bad thumb. And the Raptors won the first half of this 2-game set a couple nights ago. 110-103. Sportsnet 1-530. That'll be followed by the Clips and the Wiz.
I can't shoot the hoops with my bad thumb.
No?
No.
Well, never mind your shoulders.
Hand, fingers, thumb.
You're going to have to coach.
So good.
They got an opening.
Everything just hurt
stuff
on you?
Dumb, diddy, dumb, diddy, dumb, dumb, dumb.
Anything not in pain right now, Rhett?
My one knee is okay right now.
God, you're such a wuss, God.
A wuss, okay.
You're such a puss.
Oh, that is the Pinder Report. Watch your mouth.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city, and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
You'd like to like wrestle?
Ow!